This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
Welcome to the Nerdcast.
We're just like Kevin Bacon.
Featuring Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
Smoke and mirrors, guys. Welcome to the movie factory.
Only on Project Nerd. It's episode 177 of Project Nerd's flagship podcast, The Nerdcast. Iggy here with Bob and Adam this evening. How are you gentlemen doing?
I'm doing great. Just having a hard time with buttons.
I could see you talking, Bob. I didn't want to start talking and say how good I was doing because I noticed you were looked like trying to say good, but you were not doing good because of the button thing.
No, I've been sick, so give me some slack, dude.
Bob has been sick. Tyler is out sick this week. I think that's the only sick day he gets for this year, though. He's done after this. He better be back next week. But it's cold everywhere. I don't know. At least it's cold where Bob is and I am. Adam, how cold are you down there?
We've bounced around. So the last week I've had highs as low as 39 and highs as high as 72. So
typical South. Typical South.
You take what you get, and it's, I hate it. I actually really dislike the temperature variation like that. It's the only time I actually get sick very often is when the temperature just bounces around. My body's like, screw it, you're sick. I don't know what the matter is with you. And so then I get sick. But otherwise, if it stays really cold, I'm never sick over the winter. So it's weird.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you on that. It's been bouncing back and forth a lot, kind of everywhere. And now I think this week it's finally starting to get consistent here in Denver, where it should be cold and we should have some snow. And unfortunately for my kids, the only snow we have had so far has fallen on the weekends. They've had no snow during the weekdays yet. So I'm sure they're hoping for it. I think it was just a couple years ago they missed the last 2 days before the end of the semester were snow days. So they ended up with two extra days for that 2 week break. Maybe they'll get lucky again this year. I've cursed it already by bringing it up though. But it's a big week. We had a big week last week. We missed Bob, but we had a lot to talk about and we had a few good debates. Not a lot of feedback. We had some internal feedback from a few of our folks regarding the back and forth on the Bram Stoker's Dracula. I think everybody with Project Nerd's relatively on the same page with that they feel it is a strong movie. Worthy of being called a great movie, I guess would be a way to put it. But this week we do have a few other topics we'll get to here in the debate towards the end. One thing that's interesting for sure is the Russo brothers have finally come out and said what would have been the results of the movie Avengers Infinity War had the team gotten the gauntlet off of Thanos' hand when Peter Quill got, well, I kind of defend him, when he got, you know, love was upset about his love.
Distracted. These things happen,
especially when it comes to love.
Right. Yeah.
Love's a bitch.
It is. It is. and it was proven right there. So, but we'll get into that in a little bit. First, we have a lot of news to cover. First is let's jump into it because we cover movie award season like crazy. And it's time to really start talking about it as specifically, there's a couple of them that did, but the one that I've definitely spotlight here is the National Board of Review has announced their winners for best films and best acting categories this year. We'll start first with their top films listed alphabetically. I like this. They have a list of movies that they call their top films, which doesn't include the best film of the year. So I'm sure that is technically added, but it's not on this list from where we're reading it. Interesting enough, though, let me list them real quick, and then we'll talk about them. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Black Panther, Can You Ever Forgive Me, Eighth Grade, First Reform, If Beale Street Could Talk, Mary Poppins Returns, A Quiet Place, Roma, and A Star is Born. Their Best Picture winner was Green Book, so I assume they would have that on the list. For me, interesting, two Netflix movies, a comic book movie, and here we go again with another comedic director and his horror film making a top list. Adam, this is you because we just lost Bob.
It is. No, and that's a good group of people for sure. And I think Yeah, it's a strong, that's a strong group. I think Quiet Place deservingly should be in there. I think it was a really good movie. It's done very, very well. And yeah.
Here, will you fight me on this if I say A Quiet Place was better than
Get Out?
Get Out, yes.
Probably not. I think Get Out is a...
It has the social commentary piece.
It's probably more important film than A Quiet Place is, but maybe not a better film. And I'm okay with that. I'd be okay with that probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, a Quiet Place had that little twist, the fact that, you know, basically the film's silent compared to, you know, like you said, the social ramifications of Get Out. I mean, it's just apples and oranges, basically.
It's very fair. Even though they're both horror movies from comedic guys, they are very different. And actually, that's why I didn't expect to see A Quiet Place getting on lists even this early, or this, I don't want to say insignificant, but compared to Golden Globes, Academy Awards, you know, the Film Guilds, this is a little bit smaller, but it's still here. And I'm more surprised because I think Get Out, we could kind of see coming, especially as it would building up steam because of that social commentary. And at this day and age, it's a social commentary that is needed. Where A Quiet Place, I think, is more, like you said, it's different. But when you really break it down, it was really a fantastic job, because a movie without a lot of dialogue and a lot of scenes where it was just dead silent. And I saw that in the theater, to where it was just black in there and silent. And it just adds so much to those tense scenes.
Yeah. I mean, I still remember seeing it, and people were just they didn't even want to eat their popcorn because it made noise. You know, that was just the coolest thing.
Dude, I had a box of Reese's Pieces.
You know, of course you did.
I like wrapped them in the loudest cellophane ever. And then like the glue that holds the box together is like the strongest glue ever. So you got to tear the box. And it's just like every sound was so loud. I'm like, I'm never going to get into these. And when I do, I'm going to have to eat them like one at a time and have the box on like the perfect angle to where my finger can grab just that one and slide it out by itself. I mean, they were delicious and it was worth it. And the movie was fantastic, but.
That's that moment where you needed the hoodie so you could put it on backwards, just pour them into the hood and grab. But interesting for sure on there, not to dive too deep into it. And if it starts showing up on other lists, we'll probably get more in depth on it. But Black Panther, which I think to some degree we knew was going to show up on a lot of these lists or a lot of these. To me, I'm taking this list kind of as what were probably their nominees for Best Pictures, you know? Yeah. And so Black Panther, I'm still questioning whether it has enough behind it for the Academy Award list. We'll see as the next few lists of nominees come out, but we expected to see it on some.
You know, one of the things that I always look at when I start seeing these critic lists come out is you got to remember these are critics. If we're talking about the Oscars, these are actors, writers, producers, directors, craftsmen. They're the ones who vote for the Oscars. And compared to critics, they may pick something else. I remember, I mean, look at La La Land. I mean, it won every critic award except for the Oscar. And I remember many years ago when El Confidential was winning everything.
God, it was so good. It was so good.
It was a great movie. It was a great movie. And honestly, it should have won. But, you know, but once you get to the Oscars where the normal people will vote on stuff, all bets are off.
Bob, I need you to give us two more examples, but both titles have to have LA in the title, like standalone LA in the title.
La La Land.
You're right.
Confidential. So I'm gonna need two more titles. You work on that, and I'm gonna talk a little bit. No, I think it's, you know, you're talking about normal people and actors and stuff like that. I mean, that movie was unbelievably well received.
Which one?
Black Panther.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Even within the industry, you know, the people were talking about the acting and the directing and. And the set pieces obviously are huge and fantastic. So I wouldn't be surprised if it gets in there, especially, I mean, either it is in there or they have to fill all 10 slots. If they leave a slot open in the Academy Award nominations and Black Panther isn't in there, that's going to be, that could be trouble.
Yeah.
I agree, especially with the back and forth on the whole popular movie category that's been discussed too. Mm-hmm. So, interesting enough, between this, the National Board of Review and the New York Film Critics. So National Board of Review gave Best Animated Feature to Incredibles 2, and the New York Film Critics gave it to the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So we have some animated superhero movies getting some early animated awards. And when I was looking at it too, your other options, I mean, you have Wreck-It Ralph, which would also kind of fit into this geek, this whole geek theme. And did DreamWorks do anything this year?
The Grinch. It's out.
Oh, yeah. Out. That's right.
Don't be surprised if that gets nominated.
It's number two in the box office right now.
It's doing money, and it's one of maybe four or five animated films that got released this year. So, yeah, it'll possibly be nominated. I don't know. With the less – I like it in years when there are less of these big studio animated movies because you get some nominees from these independent studios or, more importantly, some of these foreign studios that get, you know, picked up and released here. And – it gives you a chance to see things. So was it last year or 2 years ago, The Breadwinner, which was just 2 years ago, was just phenomenal. And it is still available on Netflix if you haven't seen it. But that movie is amazing. And I've watched it at least three times. It's just powerful. And I like it when we get to see more of those in that animated category.
I agree. I agree.
I think even though it had a strong support from Disney at the time, because they had picked up the distribution rights to Studio Ghibli, but that gave us Spirited Away the 1 year, which opened up a whole new world to all those other Studio Ghiblis coming in. And then, of course, Secret of the Kells the 1 year, which was ended up being another fantastic one that these might not have been, well, they might not have shown up on my radar if it wasn't for the award recognition they got.
Yeah, true. That's true. Yeah, I'm just kind of worried we're going to get another Ferdinand nominated like we last
the Grinch.
Year.
That's the Grinch right there.
That's the Grinch one right there. You know,
I still haven't, it's available on HBO streaming option now, Ferdinand, but we still haven't watched it yet. My daughter's pretty stoked for it. There's a lot of hesitation from the rest of us here. So real quick, going down National Board of Review, and we'll dive into a few of these after I list them. But best director, Bradley Cooper, Star is Born. Best actor, Viggo Mortensen on Green Book, which again, they gave best film to Green Book. I don't know if I kind of highlighted that enough. Best actress, Lady Gaga, A Star is Born. Best supporting actor, our man Sam Elliott for A Star is Born. Regina King gets best supporting actress for If Beale Street Could Talk. Best original screenplay was first reformed and adapted screenplay, If Beale Street Could Talk. Again, animated film Incredibles 2. Breakthrough performance, Thomasin McKenzie and Leave No Trace. Best directorial debut, Bo Burnham, Eighth Grade, which we'll have to break that down here in a second because Best Director was also technically a debut. Foreign language film was Cold War, documentary RBG, ensemble cast, Crazy Rich Asians, and a few other things too. We'll link over to it because they have lists of their top five foreign films, top 10 independent films, and everything like that. Not a whole lot of surprises there on those other categories, even though, again, this is critics. I think a lot of those acting and directing, at least nominee wise, is going to line up with the critics as it is going to be with the guilds.
And surprisingly, I think when this podcast is released on Friday, Golden Globe nominations are out that day too. See, everything's rushing fast right now. I can't, my head's spinning.
Well, it's a normal start time, but I think also in the years to come with the Academy Awards shortening and all this up, it's this shorter season. We're going to, our December and January pot and early February podcasts in the future are going to be jam packed with talking award winners because we love it and we love catching these types of movies too. So give us your feedback on your thoughts for both National Board of Review and New York Film Critics, but also your thoughts if this is some early signs on what's to come, like we kind of dove into Black Panther in A Quiet Place starting to make some of these lists. And of course, as I just pointed out, for the next 3 months, probably every episode we'll have at least some kind of list of at least nominees, if not winners, to share with you. Exciting stuff there. But on the big screen, well, more the little screen, eventually leading to the big screen, we t- talked so much last week about the new Avengers trailer because it was supposed to drop last week. It never happened. So this is the editorial comment at the beginning of the magazine where we retract one of our statements in there. Yeah, podcast did not happen. However, we're recording Tuesday night, and I mentioned that because now, as my understanding, Marvel has confirmed that Wednesday is the Marvel trailer. So as I said last week, the trailer dropped this week. You're hearing it on Friday. If you somehow missed it, go to Project Nerd. It'll be there. The only reason if it's not there is the same as last week is because it didn't drop. But what did drop for sure already is the second Captain Marvel trailer. And I tried not to because Tyler was all pissy about it when I made a comment. That first teaser trailer just really didn't do it for me. This trailer does. This is looking pretty awesome. What do you guys think?
I agree.
That's simple. That's simple.
I mean, honestly, you were the only weirdo who wasn't on board with the first one, my man.
Well, I was on board. We talked about it. Marvel hasn't done anything, you know, outside of a couple sequels that weren't as great. We know this is going to be good. We know where we're at in the timeline. It's going to be important, and it's going to add to it. The trailer itself didn't do it for me. So I wasn't like, oh, this movie's going to suck, but I just wasn't sold on the trailer. This one, a lot more fun. A
lot more action.
A lot more action. Nick Fury getting all happy about a cat at the end. So, I mean, a lot more young Nick Fury, too. So,
yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited about Sam Jackson going back a few years. And because he sounds like an absolute complete nerd in this movie. Obviously, playing with the cat at the end and all that stuff. But it just to me, it looks like it's just going to be fun, but it's got a lot of stuff going to have to tie together.
We get a lot, not only younger, but I feel like we get, from what we've seen in the trailer so far, a lot less tense or intense Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, it's got to happen somewhere. And we're either going to see it here in Captain Marvel or possibly in part of the time travel piece with the Avengers 4. But I feel like they're going to give it to us here pretty quickly. Something had to happen.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, I mean, he seems more like Agent Coulson, right? Like, I mean, he's a little more, like Bob said, nerdy. And I suppose he's what we think of when we think of, you know, random government agent for a random government agency. Like he is that stereotypical guy who just walks into a place, you know, and yeah, I'm from the Strategic Homeland Initiative. And you need a nickname. Yeah. Oh, we're working on it. Like, I mean, it reminds me a lot of Coulson in whatever that was, Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3.
No, the Captain America ones when he has the cards and everything.
When he geeks out with Captain America. I mean, that's what he seems more like. And I'm with you. Something causes a change. Maybe a partner, maybe the fact that Carol Danvers is MIA for many, many years. Maybe that or maybe just a harder place. I don't know.
20 years of intense superhero shit can wear you down. He's sitting in a bar somewhere saying, let me tell you, dude, I've seen some shit. I don't know, but it's interesting. I like that they're trying to take a little bit different approach to it because it is far enough behind that. That's a good point. You know, maybe since it's early for him, he's that way, and then he's gone through 20 years of experiencing it all. Because obviously, if you're in charge of that part and dealing with the superheroes, you're in charge of dealing with the biggest threats and the biggest scares. So it's probably going to play a toll on you. But I don't know. Captain Marvel trailer, like I said, over on Project Nerd. Avengers trailer, over on Project Nerd. Asterisk, if it drops this week, like it's supposed to. So
right. I feel like to begin this segment, you need to play, we need like a 10-second clip of I Got You, Babe. And don't forget your booties because it's cold out there today. Right.
Basically. Further in movie news, little not huge movie news, but kind of exciting movie news. Turns out Zach Galifianakis has been secretly filming his Between Two Ferns full feature film. I don't even know what to say after that sentence.
I mean, I feel like this is what people felt like when they heard we were getting a Wayne's World movie. It's like, that is a really funny 4-minute segment, 3.5-minute segment. I don't know if we need 90 minutes of it. if somebody could do it, it's probably Galifianakis, though. So I'm like, yeah, okay.
It almost sounds like it's going to be a just an Anchorman type film, you know, with that.
Well, I feel like if we get an Anchorman World, Wayne's World thing going here, I think we, with Zach Galifianakis as a star, I can get behind that. I don't know. I need something more before I get excited or concerned or anything, because I need to know where it's going. Him doing it in secret, I have a feeling we're not going to get a lot of information on it anytime soon, which honestly makes it a little bit more intriguing, just knowing who's behind it. But I don't know. It seems interesting for sure. But yeah, you guys did some great comparisons there. Maybe we'll be very, very pleasantly surprised. I don't know if we can ever be that pleasantly surprised to Wayne's World level again, but maybe something near there. And yeah, you have that Anchorman style of comedic Anchorman, I guess is the way to put it. So could work here too. A lot of options. The one thing I can say is we will probably see a lot of cameos in it. That's for sure. But
yeah, as we get closer, we'll have to do some sort of over under pool
on how many cameos,
like total number of people who have, like, you know, not co-starring type things, but like legitimately they walk through a scene or say a line or even, you know,
as long as John Hamm shows up to get his keys again,
it's got to be John Hamm. That's what I was gonna, the other thing I was going to say is, and how long does it take before John Hamm walks into the scene?
That was 2.5 years ago. that's one of the best parts of the whole series. So awesome. I don't know. Let's take a break from those types of announcements, and because you're hearing a lot of my voice right now. So Adam, why don't you give us a rundown on the many, many things happening in video games this week?
Yeah, good God, lots of it. So you get a couple DLCs where we're dealing with video games. So Assassin's Creed Odyssey came out just a little while back. I mean, that game's not terribly old, but their first DLC is coming out. They're going to do two big DLCs. First one's called The Legacy of the First Blade, and the second one, off the top of my head, has something to do with Atlantis, Lost Atlantis or something like that. But the way they're doing those DLCs is you get them in installments. So you'll get a new piece every 6 weeks. So you get one today, which is December 4th. So if you're listening on Friday, you should be playing it already. I am. and roughly every 6 weeks, you'll get another installment of that. And that will lead right into the second DLC. And then it's several installments in their 6 week time span. So kind of a neat way to do it. We're seeing a lot more video games do that. So another DLC dropped today. Destiny 2 Forsaken has its first DLC, which is called Black Armory. Last week they released kind of a roadmap of where they're going from here. And it again does some similar kinds of things. You get your big DLC drops three times throughout the year for Destiny instead of two. And then in between there, you have little small items. So pretty awesome. Interesting way to do it. If you have the season passes, it makes things really great for you because you get content coming out year round. Certainly all the video game companies would rather do subscription services for their games instead of just $60 for a game. So we'll see where that ends up. Fallout 76, not so much a DLC. They have an update though, which I think will fix one of the larger problems, which is storage capacity. So you're personal storage at your base is going to go from 400 pounds or 400 weight up to 600 weight. So that's pretty good. You get a 50% increase there. For me, it'll make things a lot better. I, like everyone else who plays Bethesda games and single player games, Skyrim, Fallout 4, Fallout New Vegas, all the other ones, Oblivion, you just keep everything. You don't get rid of any of it. You might need it. It's going to be awesome. You could do other stuff with it. So they've taught us to keep everything. And now they get to Fallout 76 and there's weight limits on how what you can store. And you can't keep everything anymore. So
I mean, that's more realistic though. You're not going to walk around with your entire house, everything from your house. Well, no.
But of course you wouldn't, but you keep a lot of stuff in your house that you can't carry with you. Like more stuff.
Is that part of the limit on Fallout 76?
Yeah, the limit is 400 at your base. your carry limit is based on how you upgrade your character. So that's up to you. You can be a pack rat if you want to. You can get special perks that reduce the weight of items that you're carrying. So if you use shotguns, you can get a perk that will reduce shotgun weight. If you carry a bunch of junk, you'll get a perk that can do reduce your junk weight, stuff like that. So your personal carry weight is totally up to you. It's how you want to play it. This is your base carry weight. So it's like me coming to your house again being like, you got way too much stuff in here, my man. I'm going to need to take about a half of it.
That would be honest feedback, though.
it would be honest feedback, yes. But you could, and if you bought something new, you had to look at all of the stuff in your house and be like, all right, what's got to go? I got to trade this out.
I kind of, as a very organized OCD type person, I kind of wouldn't mind that limit in my real life.
Right. In a video game, though, it takes it from being able to, you know, play a half hour of the story, your personal inventory gets full, you go back to your house to unload stuff, and then you got to spend 15 minutes figuring out how you're going to store everything. It just, it slows down the amount of fun you can have with a game like that. It's the same problem I actually had with Bethesda doing the similar kind of thing in Elder Scrolls Online, and that's why I never got into that game. So hopefully this will do the kind of fix we need. It'll be probably a week or two before I get into that, because I'm, like I said, I got Assassin's Creed, and my friend's trying to talk me back into getting the new Destiny update. So we'll see.
A lot happening there in the video game world. And yeah, that's crazy. I don't know. All right, moving on.
I was going to say, isn't there another video game coming out this week for the Switch?
Oh, Smash Brothers. Yeah, I'm super excited for that.
How could you forget that, Adam?
Yeah, Adam, you kind of dropped the ball that one.
I don't own a Switch.
Okay. Well,
other people do.
Well, then you can talk about it. You own a Switch, you weirdo. You forgot about it, too.
Smash Brothers is coming out, and I'm excited for it. I'll probably not be able to get it right away. That's okay, though, because I do just want to point out that for Black Friday deals, I was able to pick up both Shaq Fu and Mutant Football League for the Switch. That's right, guys. Kicking it old school now this month.
They made a Shaq Fu video game?
You didn't know that? They had it back like on the PlayStation or what? Like, that's old.
Oh, and then like a re-release.
Well, no, they have new versions of them for, I think they're just like the remastered versions.
Like a remaster? Okay.
So, but it's, I mean, I think they were like $15 or so for Black Friday, which, I don't know. Mutant Football League, dude. I'm totally excited for that. I hadn't played that since back, and I'm pretty sure it was the first PlayStation's the last time. Maybe even further than that. Maybe it was Sega.
I was going to say, I think I had it for either Genesis or maybe 64.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't...
I can't remember. I don't know if Nintendo would have done it on the 64.
But you had a whole league going, and you, like, ripped people apart. You, like, did destroy... Like, it was just... Right. It was like the modern-day NFL.
Right, you had different stadiums that had, like... You could, like, run faster in them because the gravity was lower and weird stuff like that. Like, it was dope.
Yeah, all that stuff's advertised on this one again. Yeah.
Okay.
It's all advertised on this one too, on the back of it. So I haven't played it yet, even though I got it for Black Friday. We're now like 2+ weeks from there. But it's been a little busy.
Fired.
You're gonna have to come up here and play my Switch, including Smash Brothers when we get it. So, all right, let's move on from video games. Something else that I know we are all excited for. Kind of upset Tyler's not here for this one because Blade Runner's kind of Tyler's thing. We all love Blade Runner, but Tyler, like, loves Blade Runner. So, Blade Runner Black Lotus. That's the new animated series from the people responsible for the Ghost in the Shell reboot, and they're bringing it to Adult Swim in 2019. I don't know. I haven't seen too many details on it. Is there anything else, really, in terms of it other than just the announcement?
That's about it, and the team, kind of the team behind it. So, I'd look up the names, but I'm going to butcher them. So I'm not going to do it. But the guys doing the Ghost in the Shell reboot, and they were also involved with Blade Runner 2022 Blackout, which was the anime that they did. It animated short that helped tell the story of what happened between the original Blade Runner, Blade Runner 2049. So they did three short movies that went along with that time period. And so there was an animated one. And so it's the same guys that did that. So it, and that was fantastic. Very, very short, but that, I mean, that world fits very well with an anime style.
And I think you can catch that on YouTube now at this point, right?
I'm pretty sure that's where I caught it to begin with.
Yeah. Okay. So, if it wasn't legal at that time, it's at least legal now. I'm pretty sure it's over there. I think that's where I saw it as well. But yeah, and I've been itching to watch Blade Runner again anyway. So now this has got me all psyched for it. So cool, cool, cool. So last week, I feel like, I don't know why I even act surprised anymore. There's going to be some kind of announcement every week where the internet is just going to lose their shit over it. And last week, surprisingly, was the quote unquote live action Lion King remake. Or the better, probably better called CGI Lion King remake, which I'm stoked for too. I'm all for seeing Lion King again. But the internet just went bananas about it. This week, a little different direction in terms of their bananas. So Tumblr announced just on Tuesday, 2019, they're removing all adult content from their site. Interesting thing to do, mainly because that's their audience now. Because nobody I don't know the last time I've been on Tumblr. Nobody goes to Tumblr as a social media platform anymore. But very good reason. So my first thought, I was just going to bring it up and then ask you guys what your thoughts are. But when I was looking into it, I saw some things. So real quick, so it turns out there's so much content. And they've been trying to block content based on, you know, based on algorithms and things like that, like a lot of the sites do, which is causing some inconsistencies. But it's also what content is sneaking through some of those filters and things because of what's being allowed is causing them to obviously lose, you know, financial backing, advertisers, things of that nature. But more importantly, Apple has dropped them from the App Store. Or suspended them, maybe a better way to put it, and things like that. So it is impacting, they feel it's impacting their reach. However, this decision might actually end up impacting that reach more. I don't know. You guys on Tumblr at all?
No, there goes my social life. No, I'm not on Tumblr. I
Well, that's good.
it just blows my mind.
There's still you porn, right? There's still
God,
I don't know. He's solid there. So Adam, why don't you dive in?
Yeah, no, well, I mean, it looks like, you know, so you say all, but there's like written work where they're not really digging into too much just yet. Like there are some caveats throughout there from what I saw anyway. Maybe by the end of 2019, they're going to try to get all of it, but I don't, honestly, I'm with Bob that I don't know it would, other than seeing the screenshots that somebody posts of something funny that happens on Tumblr, I don't know if it really is going to impact me all that much.
Yeah, my insight to Tumblr, my view of Tumblr is only from our friends sharing from those Tumblr fan pages on Facebook, the funny like comment section or quotes or something. Other than that, I don't know. We do have a Project Nerd Tumblr that was created when Project Nerd was conceived, and I made all the social media networks. It has not been updated probably since that point. I don't even know if I could go in and find a lost password because I don't even know what email it was set up with. But we have a Tumblr presence of some level. Our account won't be affected by this change. However, it's not like we were gaining an audience there anyways.
We don't have adult content on there. We have zero content.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing on there. I don't know, for people getting upset about it, the people that do the fan art and stuff that put on there and things like that, you have other platforms. DeviantArt is a great example, which is one that's going to be able to protect that more because they have login filters where you can't see it if you're not logged in and you have to be logged in and confirm your age. And the way they make a lot of their revenue is, you know, paid for users and things like that. So a lot less of the risk of that type of stuff going. So people who write erotica fan fiction, and as much as we laugh at that, that is how Fifty Shades of Grey came to be such a huge thing. But does fan art that's a little bit, you know, more sexy, I guess would be a way to put it. And again, you know, nothing bad with it because we have some friends. We have some good friends in the cosplay community who have drawn gay versions of a lot of the characters they cosplay. in order to kind of get that, you know, being gay, to put that representation out there. So there are a lot of things that it could, but again, to me, the users, they have other platforms. There's other platforms, and I don't know. For Tumblr, though, I think it's a bad decision because I think they're going to lose too much traffic and too many users. The engagement is definitely going to drop. And I wouldn't be shocked if in a year from now or something like that, we get another Tuesday in December announcement where they say adult content is coming back to Tumblr. But interesting for sure.
The adult content on Tumblr is going to be from them going, bleepity bleep bleep bleep, we messed up. We're sorry.
I think,
come back, and it's nope, we're done.
And I'll try to find it again. I'm sorry, I can't credit the source here that I read it. I'm sure it's in my history, so I'll find it and try to link it to it when we post this. But there was a good article I was reading that put in a lot of, when I was kind of digging this up for our conversation, a lot of statistics behind it. And really, since 2016 is what it was saying, is the majority of their highly engaged users are in those feeds that have adult content. And it was sharing charts and stuff, so the percentages were pretty high. So we'll have to see what happens with them. Not that our eyes were heavily glued on Tumblr in the first place, but we'll see.
It's that old saying, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
Exactly.
Talking about them, we haven't talked about them in 6 years on the podcast, so.
Exactly. They'll be in some of our keywords here, so that'll help for sure. But one last thing before we get into some big heavy debates, at least one last thing we have written here. We might have a few other things that we'll be able to discuss too, but kind of going back to the awards, probably would have been better to cover this when we were talking about all the award stuff, but anyways, we're all over the place. That's what we do here. Let's not act surprised. Academy Awards, we still don't have a host yet for 2019, but a front runner has emerged from the pack, and his name is Kevin Hart.
Did he emerge from the pack, or did he just like scoot forward without anybody noticing? No, so he just went in between somebody's legs and nobody noticed.
He kind of just walked, you know, from under the rock's legs, you know, just stuck in there. But so for me personally, Kevin Hart, I was not a huge fan of. I've never been huge on his stand-up, that's for sure. And when he was at that point in his career, which is probably still now, where he's pumping out like 3 movies a year, there was a good span of that where I just, none of it interests me. He started doing a few things. I think it was Central Intelligence with The Rock, which I did not have any desire to see it. I was somewhere and they put it on. It was actually quite funny. And then of course he was fantastic in the new Jumanji movie. He's kind of grown on me a little bit. So I've seen him in Comedian in Cars Getting Coffee and a few other things where he's done interviews. And the way he talks about his kids and his family, all this stuff, he's grown on me. So I really don't know how I feel. I'll be interested to see it. This seems to be like almost the Hollywood equivalent of being put on the cover of Madden or Sports Illustrated. At least I feel that way.
Can you hear me okay? Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I really lost interest in Kevin Hart. He basically plays the same character in every film, but I agree. Once he, with Jumanji, I actually enjoyed him in that. And I didn't see it, but Night School, I heard he was really good in that. It's, you know, it's really sad when you can't remember who was the host last year. Was it Jimmy Kimmel?
Did we go back to Kimmel? It was 2 years ago with Ellen, right? With the selfies and the delivering pizza and snacks, yeah, or whatever, which was, to me, was kind of, I get it didn't do much for the show itself, but it was kind of fun, kind of, yeah, broke up the, but therefore also made it even longer. I feel like you're right that it went back to Kimmel last year.
Yeah, I remember because it was, his first year was the La La Land Moonlight mix up. And then I remember when he came out, he says, okay, we're going to try to fix from what was last year, you know? So yeah, I think he did it twice, and he actually was really good. I'm really surprised that, you know, maybe he is up for it. I don't know. But I would actually like to see him do it again.
Well, I know I, one part of this, as bad as it sounds, us three white guys sitting here talking about it, but I'm not surprised if we do see Kevin Hart or somebody regarding that because of the Oscars so white controversies here as of late. they might be pushing for that representation side of things. The other thing too is I think we've seen historically they try to mix it up. So even with, you know, Kimmel being good and stuff like that, we don't often see the same host for so many years in a row, at least in recent decades.
Yeah.
Other thing too is I don't understand though why it is such a huge deal. Just get a comedian, slap in a few jokes, do the good opening dialogue, which most of them are typically good. Do a good opening dialogue, slap in a few jokes in between. You're trying to shorten the show down anyways. You're doing awards over commercials this year and everything like that. Why are we focused so much on somebody who really doesn't need to provide that much content for us in between?
Four words: Anne Hathaway, James Franco.
All right. That's fair. That's fair.
That was a disaster. And honestly, people who host, they say that is probably the most difficult hosting job you could do, because you have to be just like right on the money. You're, you know, something like, you know, something happens. I've seen, you know, we've seen comedians just run with like, just, I remember, what's his face from City Slickers doing the push-ups?
Billy Crystal.
Yeah. Well, no, it was Jack Palance who did. And, and the host.
Billy Crystal's just hosted like 9 million times.
Yeah.
Right.
And the host just ran with that the whole rest of the show, you know? So, I mean, he has to have great writers in the back. You know, something happens, he has to change stuff right on time. And like I said, he has to be aware. He has to keep the show moving very fast. And so it is really, from my understanding, probably the hardest gig in Hollywood.
Well, and I think they need to get back to being somebody in Hollywood. Like, I like Jimmy Kimmel and all, but he's not a movie actor, right? Like a movie star. Like, so when I think back of the hosts of the Oscars, it's always somebody, you know, who kind of shares that room, not just is in front of that room, but kind of shares that room at least.
I got to disagree with you there. Johnny Carson was not a movie star, and he probably, next to Bob Hope, probably the best Oscar host.
But that's Johnny Carson.
He's the
best late night host of all time, probably too, in many considerations.
Yeah. Right. But and I wouldn't just put somebody who's a good late night host. Like, I don't think Letterman would be.
Letterman was awful.
Right. Yeah. He wasn't fantastic at it. And I don't think I think Jimmy Kimmel's funny, but I don't think he's that great at it. Or Jimmy Fallon, even. I don't think he'd be that great at it.
I was actually going to say, I wouldn't mind seeing Jimmy Fallon do it just because of how big of a fan he is.
Wait, but that TV show would be 19 hours long.
That's very true. Yeah. And we would see a lot of Justin Timberlake throughout it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is all okay, except for the 19 hours long thing.
But look at, you know, with Jimmy Kimmel, you got enough Matt Damon jokes.
Right. And they keep the inside. I think there's another kind of thing with the Johnny Carson, and not to play into one side on this also. I feel like the lines were a lot more blurred back then than they are now. And Carson was, even though he wasn't in the movies, he was in the Hollywood scene. Like, I feel like he was a part of all those things and everything like that. The lines blurred a lot more than they do now. I think, and it's kind of, we bring up Kimmel. To me, I couldn't stand Fallon. Jimmy Fallon as an actor. He messed up every skit he was ever in Saturday Night Live. His movies were not that good. But him as a fan hosting, he's really good. If he could keep the time under control, him having that fanboy-like attitude with also, I think, is a funny host, and having some of those ties, like we're saying, being able to kind of be tied into it a little bit or have an understanding of what it's like to be in that room, it maybe could work. But we're on ABC, right, with this, so I don't think it's a long shot anyways.
Yeah. God, I'm just thinking back here, some of the hosts. Remember Seth MacFarlane?
Yeah, he did host.
Remember that that song he sang at the very beginning? It was like, I saw your boobs. And boy, if that song would be done this year, oh man, he would be finished.
I think that's a good point to bring up too. We talk about the pressure that's on the host and how it's one of the hardest jobs, and we hear that from almost every host that does it, especially the ones that bomb. But yeah, there's a lot of pressure on the Academy too, because we have to be funny, but we also have to be we have to be very socially aware and even a step ahead of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand that whatever decision is made, and I'm saying we as like if I'm in it, but they have to understand whatever decision is made could be super controversial. They're going to make a controversial decision every year, whether it's the like deeply, deeply controversial, again, Oscars too white, or it's blank movie got omitted, or all male directors nominated, you know, something's going to happen there. And they have to kind of stay ahead of it by thinking, I don't know, give me Fallon as the host and put John Mulaney in the writer's room. We're good to go. It won't be socially aware though.
I'd be happy with John Mulaney and what's his face as hosts.
Oh, the
I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but they were on last year and they did that. They did a skit there and that was hysterical.
They just did Broadway together.
Yeah.
Which I watched the Oh Hello on Broadway, which is absolutely hilarious, by the way.
Can't remember his name. It's just like
Nick Kroll. There it is.
That's
Kroll.
It.
Them two together are fantastic. Yeah. Which, by the way, since it's leading into it, I did watch Oh Hello on Broadway this past week. It starts very slow because they're kind of trying to be two old men explaining everything and explaining their past. It gets a little dry for a minute there, but once they get into the actual like play that they're doing, it is absolutely hilarious. And there's cameos and everything, and it's wonderful. So definitely worth a check out. Which,
did you two fanboys watch Big Mouth?
I didn't, and I keep getting told I need to watch it because to me it didn't look that good. It looked like just a potty mouth cartoon. But I keep getting told, well, it's Mulaney, it's Kroll, it's all those guys. Like,
and it is a potty mouth cartoon, but it is a potty mouth cartoon in the like best sense of that genre. Like, it's not just potty mouth for potty mouth. Like, they have some really spot on things.
I don't know. I'll need to check it out. F is for Family just dropped season 3 also, so there's more animated fun for you over at Netflix, which Bill Burr in F is for Family is just flawless. It is fantastic for sure. And season 3 starting just as strong as the other two seasons were. Although I had forgotten how season 2 ended until I started season 3 here, and I was like, oh yeah, that was quite an ending. But I don't know. Goes back to all that Netflix content, and we'll see if we'll be talking about them a lot with the award season with both The Ballad of Buster Scruggs and Roma, The Outlaw King, which was another one I think they were trying to do for award contention, is not going to have the steam. I enjoyed it, but it's not going to have the steam. All right. I have no clue where we're at on time, guys. I think we're at about 45 minutes or so. We're going to go with that, which is good time then to lead us into two big talk topics we have here. Big as in
big
argument type topics, but I don't think we're gonna be able to argue one of them. I think we're all on the same page, so I've been trying to plot devil's advocates for it. We'll get into that one last. But before that, this week the Russo brothers, all the Marvel stuff going on, they did in an interview with Collider said they were asked what would have been the results had the team gotten the gauntlet off of Thanos' hand right before, you know, right when Peter Quill kind of has his meltdown. As we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, love is a bitch, love is whatever we want to say, you know, love gets distraction, all that stuff. Again, they said it, here we go. I'm sorry. They said if he would not have retrieved the gauntlet back from the good guys, if they would have gotten it off in that scene. And, Joe Russo says, quote, no, that was the turning point of that scene. Again, these are flawed characters that make emotional choices, human choices. Had Quill not done that, the movie might have ended right there. Well, two things. I mean, you don't want the movie to end like that. That wouldn't have been anything. But two, I'm glad that Russo pointed out, because that's been my stance on it all along. He's human. He's emotional. He just found out, like, the first woman that he's loved, really, in any capacity of love, probably since his mom is gone, he overreacted.
Yeah, and not only did he love her, she helped him through all of that at the end of Guardians 2. Like, I mean, he's dealing with all of those emotions about his mom, all of the emotions about finding his father, all of that sense of betrayal. And yeah, the Guardians and their family attitude were, you know, they're all there to help him. But, you know, he loses his real dad. He loses his birth father, and, you know, kind of loses that connection back to his mother with trying to find who his real father was or who his birth father was. And so he's got all of that emotion, and she is there just holding him, giving him something to plant to, and then we cut to that and losing her, you know. It's understandable that you get distracted or whatever.
And let's make note of it that Marvel, that the guys, well, James Gunn, I guess, in those particular movies, did a fantastic job of showing real love from Gamora too. This isn't the shallow movie love, the love that people think they find because they saw it in movies. This was tough love at times. This was giving Quill, like telling him how it really is at times, making him earn the relationship, showing respect, all that type of stuff. So there was some solid foundation built over those first two movies to show them two coming together in a really solidly done relationship. And you have to remember the group of them, you know, this is a period of how many years they've spent like every day together. So he has had a lot of time with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it's tough. You know, I know you want to say be negative what happened and stuff like that, but in run, yeah, it is just the emotions taking over there. And there's just no other way to explain it.
Well, I think too, if you lose the, I hate to say immaturity, but the lack of emotional maturity here, mm-hmm. of him, and then the immaturity of Peter Parker, how much of that movie do you lose? How much of this whole series, this whole arc they've built, do you lose by giving you these characters that are, I mean, that's what Marvel is. Yeah. It's not the, you know, DC's the gods, these people, Batman, even as the human, has it all figured it out, all done. And Marvel's the one where they tie it to what us people go through in real life.
Flawed character.
Yeah, a flawed, exactly. The flaws, the learning, all that stuff. And I think if you lose those aspects of it, well, yeah, you lose the fun in the movie, obviously. You shut that movie down quicker, you know, it's all, but you also lose what is kind of made everything set up. Like it would have been I think it would have been uncharacteristic of Quill had he not overreacted. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think you just explained the reason why Marvel films and characters are so much better than DC right there.
Yeah, and that's coming from a DC comic fan. Yeah. And that's what most, if Tyler was here, he would be arguing the same, as that's what Marvel Comics does over DC Comics too, which to a big extent he's right. But you look at it, what our best DC movies we've had were possibly the Nolan Batmans, which what were they? They weren't your prepared, everything's good as gold Batman. It was your learning Batman. It was your flawed Bruce Wayne, who's trying to overcome the emotion of losing his family, of finding himself and that stuff, almost to the level of what we get with the Marvel characters. And that's where our best DC movies have been from Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's the point. I feel, going back to it, would have been incredibly uncharacteristic of Peter Quill had he not reacted that way, had the scene played out a different way and still extended the movie. This is who we've learned to see Quill. This is what we've learned to see from him. So I don't know. There's no argument here. We're all on the same page with it. Yeah. Where's Tyler when you need him? Where's Tyler? But all right, moving on to the last piece, which is also going to have no argument. And I really can't think of a devil's advocate.
Well, I'll give you one for the Avengers. I can come up with it. You're supposed to be pissed off that he couldn't get his shit together for 14 goddamn seconds to actually do what needs to be done right there at that moment. I mean, that's the whole point. That's the emotion they want you to feel. Yeah, when you introspect and you look back, you can be like, oh, sure, okay. I get that. I understand. I can empathize with that character. But in that scene, in that moment, what they want is anger. They want you upset at what is going on because it has huge ramifications. Like, I mean, the whole last part of the movie comes down to that part in the movie right there. And it legitimately is. And if you look at the stills, I mean, it is off. His hand is not gripping the fingers or anything. It is, I mean, it's done. They got it. And you should be mad. It's okay. I think it's perfect because it exemplifies exactly what Quill is going through. It is a raw rush emotion, or a rush of raw emotion. There we go. In your reaction to that scene in the film, and you mirror basically exactly what Quill is doing, just with a different emotion. He has a rush of raw loss, hurt, rage, anger, everything that just distracts him from the thing he's supposed to be doing. And you see the exact same thing. So I think it's perfect. So I'm going to agree, but you know, for a different reason. It's perfect for that scene because it puts you almost in that same kind of place.
Adam's throwing his hands up. I feel I don't know. You've squashed the entire argument with that. That is very true. If you change that scene, not only are you losing, you're losing what they're trying to evoke from us as an audience and get us more invested in it. Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. Not only have we, everything about Quill has been built to be that type of character to make that move, but it's exactly right. Like, that move had to be made to, because it even pulls us in more. It probably, without that, you're not as emotionally invested in the end as you are with it. Solid case. Case closed. Put the stamp on it. Adam threw his arms up in the video, so he knows what he said. He's got it down. All right. So as we get ready to close, I'll leave you with this, because none of us are going to disagree. So we need somebody else to give us a reason why they think Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. Because Die Hard is a Christmas movie, for one. But I want to have that discussion. And we can't have that discussion, because even if Tyler was here, I know we've already talked. Tyler's on the same page as us. We all feel it's a Christmas movie. Bob even pointed out before we started recording, he has the Christmas book for it. We need somebody in our comments, whether it be over at the site, Podbean, anywhere, send us a note on social media to give us a reason why you think Die Hard is not a holiday movie.
We yes. dare you.
Yes, let us know why you're wrong and think that it's not a holiday movie. It takes place at a holiday party with presents for children. Bruce Willis brings presents for children in the movie and goes to a holiday party. How is it not a Christmas movie?
Well, I mean, there's other movies that take place during the holidays that I would consider not to be a holiday movie. But
what do you got?
I'm going to need some time to think about it, but there is. But to me, when I sit down and I say I have to watch these specific Christmas movies this year, Die Hard is on that list. It will be watched. There will be a post of a screenshot of, or a picture of my TV with it on there, put to social media, and everybody on my friends list will be like, that's right, this is a holiday movie and stuff like that. And if one person I don't know very well says otherwise, they are removed from my friends list. So,
I'm a friend.
Exactly. But I have a movie prize pack. I don't know. I've got like 5 or 6 new movies kind of set aside. Hell, I've got Black Lightning season 1 on Blu-ray sealed, ready for the person that hits us with the best reason. The reason that we pull and argue next week.
The least wrong reason, you mean?
Yeah, the least wrong reason, I guess is the best way to put it. If you have the least wrong reason on why Die Hard is a holiday movie, I'm so tied up in words anyway.
Can I change my mind? I'll get rid of the book.
No, because you want the Black Lightning season 1?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. You've got enough movies, Bob. Let's let somebody else get this one.
Okay.
All right, so that's out there. We'll post it even outside of the Nerdcast. We'll post it on our social media and everything. We're looking for the least wrong reason. I may have Adam type this up for wording so that way I know how to put it. But all right. Before we head into final thoughts and close us out for this week, just a reminder, Project Nerd is now on Patreon. Thank you to our multiple backers. As of right now, we are halfway for paying to our hosting fees month to month. We cannot thank you enough. I would love to get all the way there by January and into the first quarter of 2019, helping us pay all of our tech fees and everything like that as well, so we can continue to do podcasts like the Nerdcast, as well as the many others we have launched, including new this week to you, Now Streaming, which I recommend watching either on our site or YouTube. But if you don't have access to the video, it is on our podcast network links, iTunes, Google Play, all those ones. I won't go through the list like I do every week, as well as the new podcast straight out of Australia, Redults, where they interview a new guest each week who showed that being an adult doesn't mean you have to give up on your dreams and you can still pursue the awesomeness that is something. This week is a gentleman that is a radio DJ, music label producer, everything like that. Really cool, fun episode. They have two episodes. We have this episode now available on Project Nerd, so head over to Project Nerd, check it out. But they are fun. They are a blast. And just more great content on a huge slate of Project Nerd podcasts that we have. Guys, we have 9 total podcasts for 2019 already. 9. Woo-hoo! Great stuff, too. Great stuff. But check those out. And again, patreon.com/Project Nerd. That one without the hyphen. If you're going to projectnerd.com, though, make sure you put that hyphen in between those two words. But with that, all the shameless self-promotion here. Adam, we'll go alphabetically today. Why don't you get us started with a final thought?
Yeah. Play video games, you weirdos. It's 'tis the season. There's lots of good games out there. I recently got back into Ark, a survival game with dinosaurs. It's fantastic. They had a new expansion out back in November and got back into that. That's just a lot of fun. So yeah, play some video games. You got Destiny, you got Smash Brothers, you got all sorts of stuff. It's a good time. There's nothing like sitting in front of the TV with a bunch of friends and family during the holidays playing video games. I remember when we got our Nintendo Entertainment System, and I remember watching my grandmother try to play Super Mario Brothers. It was the best thing ever. And everybody stayed up until like 2 o'clock in the morning trying to play. It was a good time. Go make some memories with your family, friends. Do it.
Bob, what you got for us?
Well, first of all, yes, Adam, I'm going to be playing Smash Brothers on Friday. This week on home video, I tell you, I don't think anyone's going to get any presents this year but me, because I just keep buying all the videos. Out Tuesday, you got Mission Impossible Fallout. I said it earlier this year, this was my favorite movie of the summer, and an upset about that. Second season of Westworld. That second season was batshit crazy. I loved it. I don't think Iggy has seen it, but you definitely gotta watch it.
I'm laughing at Adam because he's confused about your Mission Impossible is the best movie comment. Adam, just go back and listen to, I think it was our podcast around the end of July or so, where we had like a 30 minutes discussion on this because we were trying to figure out if that included the Avengers and stuff. And
yeah. Did we determine that it didn't? Because he has an Avengers framed movie poster on his wall behind him right now.
That's because I don't have a Fallout movie
poster.
Shut up. I don't have a Fallout poster. I would love a Fallout poster. If anyone has a Fallout one sheet, I would love it. Adam, you can buy that for me for Christmas. Yeah.
But you're not getting a gift because he bought himself movies.
True. What else came out Wednesday? The Nun. Adam loves this. Settle down, Adam. Adam loves The Nun. Happy Time Murders. If you like Sesame Street characters fornicating, that's the movie for you. And the 4K version of The Lion King. Not the CGI Lion King, the actual animated Lion King.
Very fair, very fair. All right, we're on the hunt for that Fallout one sheet for you. For me this week, I have to say it is holiday season. And with that, no better month than there to be National Cookie Day. So Tuesday, December 4th, again, the day we are recording, was National Cookie Day. And there were a few places where you could get free cookies. Unfortunately, I didn't stumble to any of those places, but I did eat some cookies. And a friend asked, what is your favorite cookie? My answer was, if I go classic, it's got to be chocolate chip or snickerdoodle. But if you can make some kind of s'mores creation out of cookies, obviously that's going to be my first pick right there. I am digging in every winter in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Oreo does release their white fudge dipped Oreos, which are so good. And that was my cookie of choice today on National Cookie Day.
Yeah, Adam, I mean, what is your favorite cookie?
It's any and pretty much all of the varieties of Oreos. Like, I don't know why that's a discussion. But if I'm making cookies, peanut butter cookies, I love peanut butter cookies. Oh my gosh.
I don't know if you guys have gone to one of these. I went to a, they call them the cookie carousel at, like, usually at the Catholic churches. It's a fundraiser where all the people in the church bring like 4 or 5 dozen cookies. And then you go in and you just grab cookies and you, they're like $6-7 a pound of cookies. I went to one this weekend and I bought like 6 pounds of cookies.
Why am I not at Bob's house right now is the real question here.
Exactly. Exactly. I have
Bob, did you win the lotto?
No.
6 pounds of cookies and 18 different movies. Well, and
I gave half my cookies to my sister. But
it was her Christmas present.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. No, actually, how I got some of my movies is Target had their 10% off on gift card sale over the weekend. So bought a $100 gift card for
Working the system
for $90 plus. For Black Friday, I got a 20% off coupon for my full purchase to in anything at Target. So work the system, baby.
Bob, does that mean you spent $100 on movies today, Bob?
Oh, easily. Westworld season 2 alone was at least, what, 50, 60? You got it in 4K also, didn't you?
Yeah, 49.
Oh, 40, see, 50,
good
yeah.
God.
Bob, I'm going to need you to get that dust on your shoulder and just go ahead and brush it off right there.
Oh, you mean this
working,
one right there?
Working the system. Working the system. All right, guys, that's it for episode 177 of the Nerdcast. It was a fun one. Tyler, you were missed, but you know, God, there was a lot of me without Tyler being here. So still, he's got his Westworld there. Bob's going to go watch some stuff. Adam's going to go play some stuff. I'm going to go edit some stuff. That's right. I'm a working man. But with that, until next week, episode 178, Project Nerds flagship podcast, the Nerdcast. We'll catch you next week.